Welcome back, family. We are so blessed to have you today. My name is Lead Pastor George Hobbs of New Disciple Fellowship Church. We are planting a church in Kent County, Delaware. We have taken the steps. We are gathering brothers and sisters who are like-minded, who want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and make disciples. For the last several years, we've been going out into the world, handing out Bibles and tracts, and doing exactly that, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then we realized we can accomplish that mission extremely better, right? By creating fishers of men, right? I was going out and doing it, and one person, you know, we're commanded to do so. However, if we can create disciples who create disciples who create disciples, that in turn creates a domino effect, and we can really transform this world. So again, God bless you. Thank you for being here. I pray that you were well, both mentally and physically, and in a good place. We're going to open up with prayer today. Father God, we gather here today under your care and protection. We thank you for your loving kindness that never fails us. We thank you for those with us, that you would guide our thoughts and our actions to bring you glory, strengthen us, and fill us with your peace. May we love and serve each other as Jesus has shown. Fill us with the Holy Spirit to do your good work on earth. We ask all these things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So it's important the first couple of episodes just to lay the groundwork, which we did. I want to stay in the New Testament. However, we are going to be starting a series. If you go to the website, you'll see we will be organizing the sermons in series, different pastors, different speakers eventually. But we're going to keep in the New Testament for the next few episodes, and then we're going to start going back. I'm actually working on a sermon for Ruth. When you think about Ruth, what an incredible story coming on the heels of the judges, basically the darkest time in Israel. Every time a new judge came around, it got worse and worse, and here comes Ruth and the story of redemption in that book, those four chapters. I wanted to talk about Doubting Thomas, right? One of the great stories of the Bible, so many great stories, from doubt to devotion. And of course, the main text is going to come from the 20th chapter of John. And it talks about, you know, the main theme, I guess you could say, is Jesus meets us in our doubt and leads us to deeper faith. So, again, and I believe today's message is about one of the most relatable figures in the New Testament, Thomas, right? And that is, it's incredible. Could you imagine being named after something famous as Doubting Thomas? And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still using those two words to refer to someone of spiritually doubting, right? But I propose to you today that Thomas's story is not, by any way, shape, or form, a story of failure. It is indeed a story of transformation, a journey from honest doubt to unshakable devotion. It is the story of many of us. All right, so let's open our Bibles to John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29 in our King James Version Bible. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus. The doors began to shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, as be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe." So, before we rush to judge Thomas for his doubt, let's consider the context, right? The disciples had just experienced the most traumatic weekend of their lives, right? Jesus, the Master, the Messiah, had been crucified. And they were devastated. They were confused. They were afraid. Some had seen the empty tomb. Others had seen the risen Christ. But remember, Thomas was not there when Jesus first appeared. But Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 24, okay? So where was he? We don't know for sure, but it's possible Thomas had withdrawn in sorrow or fear. And like many of us, when disappointment hits, he may have chosen isolation. That's what many of us do. We just shut down. So he missed the blessing of that first appearance. But Jesus came back just for him. Let me ask you this. Have you ever felt like you missed out on a move of God? Like everyone else seems to be experiencing his presence but you? So Thomas shows that Jesus doesn't leave his sheep behind. He always comes back for the one who is doubting. And listen, let's look at the honesty of Thomas's doubt. Verse 25 shows us a powerful moment of transparency. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, I will not believe. So listen, Thomas isn't faking his faith here. He is honest about his need. He's not rejecting Jesus. He's wrestling with what seems unbelievable. And many times, listen, for some of us, we've been talking about the resurrection our entire life. If you were brought up in the church, maybe you're new to Jesus and the resurrection theme is new to you. But imagine putting yourself back 2,000 years ago and witnessing someone, just the horrific vision of seeing someone nailed to a cross, dying, and 3 days later, rising from the dead. I mean, it's powerful, right? Oh, this is very important. Some people say doubt is the enemy of faith. I think denial is. So doubt, when brought honestly before the Lord, it can actually lead to a deeper faith. We've seen many stories, Gideon as well, right? Thomas wasn't content with secondhand faith. He wanted a personal encounter. So, and I understand many of you listening today may be wrestling with your own doubts. You've heard the stories. You've been around the church, but your heart says, Lord, I need to know you for myself. And it's inviting. He welcomes the seeker. He meets the honest doubter. We're all flawed, and that is the redemptive story of redemption through Christ. Let's look at verse 26. After 8 days, then came Jesus and said, peace be unto you. He didn't rebuke Thomas. He didn't shame him in front of the others. He greeted him with peace. Peace be unto you, brother. And Jesus knew exactly what Thomas had said. Remember, he had quoted Thomas's words back to him in verse 27. Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Don't be faithless, believe. And Jesus met Thomas at his level of need. He didn't scold the doubt. He addressed it. This is the beauty of the gospel. God understands us. He welcomes us in our weakness, through our fear and our confusion and our questions. He looks at us and he says, peace be unto you. Psalms 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So I ask you, are you bringing your doubts to Christ, or are you hiding them in shame? Well, here's the one thing you have to understand. Jesus already knows what you're thinking. He invites you to come close. He invites you to reach out and to touch his wounds, to see that his resurrection is real, that his love for you is real, right? And in that confession, it changed everything. You get to the turning point, verse 28. And Thomas answered unto him, "My Lord, my God." What a confession. This is the highest declaration of Jesus' divinity in the entire Gospel of John. And it comes from the lips of the one we call Doubting Thomas, right? And he turned doubt into devotion. My Lord, my God, right? He just didn't say, "You are Lord." He didn't say, "You are God." He said, "My Lord and my God." That's personal. That's relationship, right? That is worship. Thomas saw the risen Christ, scars and all, and he believed. He went from skeptic to worshiper. And this moment really echoes the entire purpose of John's gospel. In John 20, verse 31, it says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." So what do you say about Jesus? Is it enough to say he was a good teacher? Not enough to say he was a prophet? The true disciple echoes Thomas's quote, "My Lord, my God. I will follow you wherever ye shall go." That's the cry of a heart that has seen the risen Savior. And Jesus responds in verse 29 with a promise that reaches through the centuries to us today. "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Now, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed." That's you and I, folks. We have not seen him physically, but we believe. My Lord, my God. And Jesus says, we are blessed. And are we blessed? Absolutely, we are blessed. Right? And this beatitude is for every believer in every generation who takes Jesus at his word. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith, not by sight. Romans 10, verse 17 states, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And Jesus knew there would be millions, like Thomas, wrestle with doubt. But unlike Thomas, wouldn't get the chance to touch the nail-scarred hands. So he gave a promise. "You are blessed when you believe, even without seeing." So, really, from doubt to mission is Thomas's legacy. Now, Thomas didn't remain the doubter. History tells us that after Pentecost, Thomas became a bold missionary. Church tradition holds that he went all the way to India, where he preached the gospel and, as we know, eventually martyred for his faith. This is what Jesus does. He takes doubters and turns them into disciples. And that is what we want here at New Disciple Fellowship. We want to turn people into disciples and become so overwhelmed with the love of Jesus Christ and so passionate that they go out and create other disciples. And we rid the vile evil of this world. And you can't fix secular problems with secular ideals. We have to start with the love of Jesus Christ, right? That's what Jesus does. He takes doubters and turns them into disciples. He takes people that question things and makes them proclaimers. Your doubt is not at the end of our story. Like Thomas, you can move from hesitation to boldness, from fear to mission, from unless I see to my Lord and my God. And again, maybe today you feel like Thomas. Maybe you're confused, you're hurting or skeptical. But I've got news for you. Your doubt does not repel Jesus. He draws you near. He offers you peace, and he offers his presence by saying, "Be not faithless, but believing." Don't live in spiritual isolation. Come back into the fellowship of believers. Don't let unanswered questions keep you from Jesus. Let them drive you to his feet. Right? Jesus just isn't Lord and God. He wants to be your Lord and God. Look at Romans 10:9, Paul's letter to Rome. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right? On the commercials, they would say, seeing is believing. You don't need to see to believe. You need to believe to truly see, to be fully awake and see through this matrix that we live in. Thomas's story isn't one of shame. However, it is one of grace. It's one of a Savior who pursues the doubter, reveals himself, and calls for faith. And when that faith is born, the doubter becomes the worshiper. So whether you're doubting, distant, discouraged, let the story of Thomas remind you that Jesus still comes through locked doors. He speaks in peace. He still shows his wounds. And he still calls you to believe. And if you will say today, my Lord, my God, you will be counted among the blessed. If you haven't yet, I ask that you repent your sins, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and turn your life around. Remember, here at New Disciple Fellowship, and hopefully at wherever you worship, that repentance is truly explained, and we have done a lot of that over the first few sermons here. It's very important to understand contrition and turning away from sin and turning toward God, not just words. God bless each and every one of you. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, so much for meeting us in our doubts. Thank you for the example of Thomas, not to shame us, but to show us that you are a God who pursues the heart that's seeking truth. Lord Jesus, you are our Lord and our God. Help us to believe even when we don't see, and to follow you boldly. And we are so thankful for this time we've shared in fellowship with you today. We are grateful for your word, for the connections that we have made already and will continue to make, and for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. And as we leave, we all go our separate ways. We ask that you guide us, protect us, and help us to live out our faith in the world. May your peace be with us always. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. God bless each and every one of you. We'll be getting into our discipleship series here in the very near future as well. We'll be talking about the five steps of creating a disciple. We're in the midst of the first one, right? Repentance is step one. We'll keep you updated as we continue to look for a physical place to worship. Until then, we will continue to use the website and this forum as our place of meeting. Again, feel free to reach out to us through our email, and that email address is newdisciplefellowshipchurch@gmail.com. We are working on the website, newdisciplefellowship.com. It's a work in progress. So if you see something that's kind of out of place, just forgive us. We're working our way through it. And our YouTube channel and Facebook are in the show links as well. I don't like to say the show. This isn't a show, but in the notes or the podcast description, if you will. So God bless each and every one of you. As you go back out into the world, I ask that you have the courage to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make fishers of men. And until we meet again, my friends, God bless you. Christ loves you. And we will see you.